Time now for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening and welcome here to PCSN Live on... Yeah, you heard a weird sound too? Yeah. We are on though, but...
I'm not hearing you.
You're not hearing me?
Nope.
Well, something's turned down somewhere, but I can hear myself, so we're going to go,
there you go.
Roll right along here. Again, welcome to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. We're going to bring you all the updates from today was a district tournament draw, and we'll also give you some of the other matchups going on in the district baseball and softball. There is a little bit of confusion. We'll try to clear up as much as we can based on my information I got today. As far as baseball goes, we'll talk about that as we go along through the show as well. But first, I guess we'll try to give you some recaps on what's been going on. We'll give you what's going to be going on next week. Also, additional coverage times here from the station, what we'll be covering for the remaining part of the week, and then give you all the information we can as far as district tournament play next week. So, that being said, where do you want to start?
Let's start with boys.
All right.
We'll start with Powell County as we ended up having their last game, I guess, that we ended up doing. We went to GRC over in Clark County. Pirates had a tough outing in a sense, ended up losing 8-0 to GRC. Pirates really just couldn't quite get enough hits, if you will, consecutively. It's not that they necessarily played bad as much as you go back to Clark County, just able to hit, especially in that first inning.
The first inning killed them there.
6-0 at the end of one.
Yeah, so really that's all they needed. Powell County had a couple base runners and also a couple, one picked off and one thrown that picked off by the catcher. So when we did have base runners, they didn't stay very long.
No, they didn't. And again, credit GRC. Yes. Again, when you have a player, a runner on first, and you're being thrown out by the catcher –
and we're not talking about a close play. We're talking that was like...
Yes.
Yeah. And the pickoff was not even close either. So, good left-handed pitcher, good move. Again, the one pickoff and by the pitcher, one by the catcher, and just kind of eliminated two of the base runners Powell County had. We did have more than two, but it was a tough pitching night for Austin. Like you said, though, Clark County hit it off the bat, and we kind of said something during the game. Greg also did it with us, and it just seemed like Austin either didn't get ready or they just came out that first inning and just hit. And then after that, they kind of just, I don't know where they went, where their bats went. Either we got better or they didn't. Coach Varney said after the game, he said they're kind of built that way. He said they just kind of, once they get a lead, they just kind of sit on it. And that's not what he wants. Of course, it's his first year there. Hopefully, he'll get that out of those kids because, you know, you got to play. You know, if you get somebody down, you just kind of, hate to say this way, but you kind of step on the juggler and you go. And till you get to a certain point, then you can let off.
Correct, and you almost have to. Again, when you look at what the Pirates weren't able to do, they weren't able to get enough consecutive hits,
yep,
runners on base, and obviously the pickoffs doesn't necessarily help any. But not to be making excuses by any means. However, completely different field. It's not grass. You know,
not dirt to slide on.
Exactly. So, therefore, let's just use those two players as the example being picked off. It's a little bit different feel than what you're going to have in a dirt situation.
Well, a couple of things are different there. Normally, these kids, most of these kids are used to wearing metal cleats, get a little bit better grip on the ground. There, you're either in turf shoes or molded plastic. So, I don't think hardly any of our kids have worn molded plastic probably for 2 or 3 years, even the freshmen. But most kids now are wearing steel cleats, and you do get a little bit better grip, and you don't wear them on those turf fields. So that's part of it, because we did see a couple slips on the turf, but the traction just isn't there with your turf shoes or molded cleats, whichever one you're wearing. I don't think it's as good as the steel cleat.
Yeah, I would agree. Again, it's unfortunate that the Pirates ended up dropping that that game, because I guess on one hand, expecting obviously a different outcome, but I think on one hand, had they been able to get some consecutive hits to build that momentum, they never had a chance to even get any momentum going, especially offensively.
No, what I kind of saw a little bit was some of their batters I thought were almost jamming themselves. They're really kind of, and you see that more and more now with players, they're really crowding the plate, and I understand why. But if you crowd the plate, you have to be able to handle inside. And we did not handle inside. They threw a lefty, and we just didn't handle him when the ball's coming back at us from that left-hand side. They brought the righty in, what, maybe the later part
fourth,
of the game?
Yeah, fourth or fifth.
And, again, we just did not handle the inside pitches on our kids that were really crowding and struggled with going with the outside pitches. So you have to do one or the other. You have to be able to hit the inside pitch when they throw it or go with that outside pitch. A couple of players do, but most of the team seemed like got pull swings, but we didn't cover inside this week.
And at one point, GRC, the pitching had a no-hitter going.
Yeah.
You know, and then at that point, they get the base hit, and that kind of stifled that in a sense as far as a no-hit, but yet their pitching was definitely on, you know, for GRC.
And I don't think it was their best pitcher. I think it was
agreed.
The guy that was up that day and probably wasn't their best, but had a good game against Powell. And, you know, traditionally against Powell County, lefties, I can think way back. I mean, Powell County has seemed to always struggle with left-handed pitchers. You know, you don't have a lot of kids that throw lefty. You don't have kids that can simulate a good pitcher that's lefty. The coaches, most of those guys are right-handed, and it's hard to simulate that pitch from the left side unless you have a left-handed guy in your rotation.
And a lot of times left-handed pitchers, just even their delivery, completely different. Something happens with that left arm, in a sense. It gives you a different, kind of an awkward throw into home plate.
Hardly any left-handed pitcher is over the top.
Correct, yes.
And most of those guys are less than three-quarter, a little bit from the side. You very seldom see a lefty that's over the top. You know, and I know that sounds weird to some, but it's just about where you're looking. You know, you're always taught to find the ball, like in baseball. You know, if you follow the ball wherever it is, follow the glove, take it out of the hand, wherever the ball goes, your eyes go. You know, I was taught that a long time. Of course, when you start coaching softball, I'm thinking, okay, follow the ball, right? No, just look at their hip, you know, because it has to come from that area.
Right.
You know, if baseball is not that simple, you can throw three-quarter, you can throw underhand, submarine, over the top. I mean, it's so many different angles you can pick from for baseball, which makes it difficult when you change the arm angle on where that release point is. And some people have a hard time following, some people don't. You know, left-handers in the major struggle against a lot of left-handers, but that problem I think is caused by coaches pulling kids at an early age, not letting them see enough of those to get used to it. You have to have a certain comfort level against any pitcher, whether it's righty or lefty. You know, if you're Pete Rose, you just change sides. If you're not a switch hitter, then obviously you've got to be able to adjust.
And that's so rare anymore. You hardly even see players that are even switch hitters anymore.
Well, now it's all about hitting home runs. So whichever side of the plate you're going to hit with most power, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
That's paying the bills. I mean, so I hate to say that. I mean, you got guys, and I'll say this, you know, Lou Brock today would be a commodity and not used well. So,
sure,
you know,
yeah, you're right.
You're a Cardinal fan, and that guy could get on base. He was a good hitter, but he was a pecking. I mean, he didn't hit a lot of home runs. He just tried to get on base so he could steal, and very difficult to throw out. But in today's game, not many teams live by the stolen base or die. They live by the home run.
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's kind of sad to see that element of the game not there really anymore, and just looking for power guys that strike out 30% of the time. And to me, that's just not good baseball.
No,
but that's what we're playing.
Well, agree, but I would rather see someone get on base with an opportunity to steal, because it adds more intrigue, right?
But whatever you got to do to move them over.
Correct,
and, these guys are playing these shifts now, like in the majors, and okay, you could break a shift real simple. Put a bunt down the other side. Guess what? They can't get you out. I've seen games in the majors where a bunt on a shifted infield, they don't even make a play. They just let it go. Now, I get part of that. They're giving a power hitter that line. Please bunt. I don't want an extra base runner for free. I mean, I'm looking at it a different, totally different perspective what they play it at.
Right.
You know, but these guys aren't willing to give that option to get that bunt down to even take the base.
But on one hand, you hardly even see pros even put a bunt down. That's I'm not sure that skill set is even there either.
I don't think it's enough of a skill set to where they can utilize it to break up a shift.
Correct.
To me, you let, I say this throwback to the 70s, I guess, Pete Rose, Joe Morgan, Lou Brock, those guys, let them see you doing that. They're going to lay a bunt down every time until you get
every
them
every time. Absolutely.
So then you can't shift on that player, and then they can get their hose back open. And
well, then what usually happens when they get on base, they're stealing
they're
second.
They're
at least going to attempt.
To me, again, the game where the game has gone is, I don't know, it's all power pitching now. If you don't throw 98, you can't pitch. If you don't hit home runs, you can't play. I mean, that's not what the game was built for. I mean, I understand it's all the excitement, all the hype, but now – you give me a good baseball team right now with fundamentals, and you know, I was talking to Frank Day. I guess they've hit one home run this season. With that kind of team, guess what you got to do? You have to play some small ball. You have to be able to bunt,
right,
move kids over, hit the ball the other way, hit and run, do some different things with your players. Now anymore, it's just hard to get kids to go to the right side when a runner on second to move them to third. You know, everybody wants to pull hit power. I mean, and you have to be able to adjust to what people are doing to you, or you have to be able to be a team player and put the ball to the other side, give yourself up, move the runner over 90 feet.
You're right. But on one hand, when did this change occur? Was it due to analytics, or did all of a sudden somebody just decide that, oh, we're going to go with these power players? Because to me, just like with you, small ball is the better game. Again, to me, because it does offer that intrigue to some extent.
And I guess I won't necessarily say it's a better game. I think it's a... to me, it's a pure game.
Good word, yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, it's still the game of baseball. You have to adjust to times, and I get it. You know, back in Pete Rose's day, you had starters throw 300 innings or 400 innings, whatever it may be, get 25 starts a year, go 8 innings. Now you see specialists in there. Pitchers are only going 4 or 5 innings. Their specialists are coming in for the next 4, 1 inning apiece. Try to finish it up. You've always got fresh arms out there, which is why I think we're really going through bullpens. I mean, the game of baseball has changed a lot, but you don't see those starters going, the kid that threw the no-hitter that or not. You're not going to see a ton more no-hitters because kids aren't going 9 innings.
Correct.
Just not building up that stamina. And, you know, a guy in the 9th inning, there's no way that guy's going to be better than somebody that's fresh in the bullpen. You would think, logically. But that's where the game has gone. They're not used to going. You know, I like these guys like Justin Verlander, and there's a couple other guys that are older. Max Scherzer is one. When you want to take the ball away from Max Scherzer, he gets mad.
You're exactly right. He does.
You know, he wants to go 7, 8, 9 innings. He wants to be one of those throwbacks, but he is a throwback. He's almost 40.
Right.
So when he came up, the pride was go 9. Now it's more about, let's get you 5 and get some relief.
So we can save you, right? We're going to save you.
Nolan Ryan didn't struggle with that. He pitched for 25 years, and, I mean, the guy didn't miss a beat. He still threw 100 at age 45. He was throwing hard.
Right.
So if you keep yourself in shape, if you get your arm accustomed to do that, guess what? It's going to be there. We just kind of – we're spending so much money on these guys today, these arms, that we have to protect – their investment. And I think it's more about, in baseball, protecting the investment rather than playing the game. It's not about the game. It's more about the contract and the age of the player. It's what you have to keep safe. It's just, to me, it's takes a little bit away from the game.
I would agree. And I think you're exactly right. I think sometimes when it comes to these players, you have to protect your assets. And if you don't, especially pitching, that's at the premium. You know,
if you don't have it, you can't win.
Bottom line, but you have to have more than a couple of pitchers. You do.
I mean, if you don't have any more, like in high school, and I'll use our team for an example. We've got one, in my opinion, one really good starter that can beat a lot of teams. Once you get past one, you're not as consistent. Not that you're not any good, you're just not as consistent. So these really good programs that you have out there go at least 3 or 4 deep. those guys are the ones that are going to be your perennial regional champions, which is, we're going to get into something about the way the draw is being done now. And we said this at the meeting today. When the rules came out at the beginning of the season to play, we had an option to either play this week or play next week. But we knew where the option was. If you're a softball person, you knew where the option was. It's wherever baseball goes is what we're going to be doing. It doesn't matter because it's not about us. It's about them. And Coach West and I had a conversation today. It doesn't matter what we need because in softball, for an example, I'm going to use this real quick here. We'll get out of order. But if you're a softball coach in the 14th region and you know your team wins the district, you've got about 3 days to get ready for the start of region play. Well, that's good. Sometimes 3 days is a good break. Sometimes you'd rather play the next day. In our game, softball, you know, pitchers are accustomed to going the next day. So we don't need as many breaks. But at the end of the regional tournament, it's almost 2 weeks of downtime for the 14th region. That's not good.
It's not
for our kids. So because and I get it for baseball. I totally get why they want to start early. Get their pitchers in line. So you start Monday with baseball. We'll just go real quick. You start Monday with baseball. Your championship game's on Wednesday. Your region may start on Saturday. It's not great for your getting your rotation where you want it to be for the start of the region. But most teams are in the same pickle you're in, unless they start as early as Saturday, which is an option. For some, I haven't seen anybody that's starting that early, but it's an option that's out there. Or even a Sunday start. But now you got graduations, and there's some other things that are going to interfere. So you move on from that. If the baseball is over, let's say Wednesday, regional starts Saturday, Sunday, that can be over by Wednesday, Thursday. You don't start for another week and a half, maybe a week. And then you go to a semi-state or a sectional, and you got another week break. And I'm thinking, we've set this up to give the best teams in baseball enough breaks to have two pitchers and be dominant. For softball, you're just taking a two-week break and just saying, okay, we'll try to stay fresh some because you can't scrimmage. You can't play anybody that's already been defeated because it's illegal. What's that team going to be doing for a week and a half off when they're preparing to go to a state tournament? To me, they should have played right on through, had your tournaments in, and then at the normal times, and then start your state tournament. But the way it sets, softball is kind of going to be stale. And it's no fault of the coaches. It's just something that I think the KHA decided, and some teams are going. The 10th region, for example, they're not playing next week. They're playing a regular season next week. While we're playing in districts, they're playing regular season games. They're waiting. They're going to be fresh your time in tournament time. That's just my viewpoint.
I think it makes a difference, though. As a sidebar, when you go back and look at the University of Kentucky women's program, they beat three consecutive top teams in the SEC tournament, beat South Carolina. They're off a week and a half, and they came back, and they weren't the same team in that first opening round of the NCAA tournament.
If they play 2 days after the SEC tournament, they probably win.
I totally agree. They'd be ready to go.
Also, look at this. Look at your wild card teams in Major League Baseball. How successful have those guys been? They're in a tournament atmosphere for the last 3 weeks of the season, plus the play-in game. Then they go right on into the playoffs. That team is tournament ready. If you're the winner, you took about 5 days off waiting for somebody to get there. If you blew your division out and you won by 6-7 games, which like the Dodgers and Giants kept that one going for a while, so they had to battle it out for first place. But they both knew they were in the playoffs, so you got to kind of protect people. You want to try to win that one game play-in. So you're okay. But if you were an early division winner, I think with the Brewers, I guess last year, were really an early division winner. They had too long to think about it.
Correct. And I think mentally you can check yourself out as well. And then obviously your skill set, you're not game ready necessarily. Because you can only practice so much during that 1 week, 2 week time period, for it to become effective.
Yeah, so what we had last year was a team that came in and they were the wild card. They won the wild card play. They won they just kept it rolling. And you saw, to me, the teams that get hot and stay hot, that's why. It's not, you can't get hot, take 4 days off, come back hot, because that happens really for nobody.
Correct.
So to me, the time between these tournaments is just, and I understand by the book what we're doing. And again, it's prepping more for baseball, and I'm okay with that, because we got to protect the arms and you got to try to win the regional tournament. But to do that, I don't know. You know, the start dates for the state tournament are June the 2nd, June the 3rd. Baseball, softball. Baseball is the semi-state this year, so they'll play a first round game and wait a week. And then softball, you go play. You start the 3rd, you'll finish the 6th, and you're done, or whatever the time is. You know, it's about the sport. I wish we just played our baseball state tournament and, you know, the same 4 or 5 days. If you've got 3 good arms, then you probably win. If you don't have it, then somebody's going to. You know what I mean? It is what it is. If you've got the best team, you shouldn't be, you know, cheated, because you got 3 really good starters, you know, or 4. But those are the teams, in my opinion, that should have the best chance of winning.
Agreed. I don't necessarily like the time off, and I'm sure most players probably wouldn't like that much time off either.
Well, trust me, most coaches in the state of Kentucky this year aren't liking the times off that we got this year. Now, next year, the calendar is much more strict, much easier to read. We're okay. This was just that 1 year.
A transition year
from COVID, and we're trying to get some things right, and I think they kind of botched it up a little bit, but next year's going to be back on track, and we're good to go. So this is that 1 year anomaly that we can all complain about.
And it's unfortunate, right?
Yeah. For the kids. It's about them, you know?
You're exactly right. It is. So let's go back to...
Sorry about that.
Sometimes it's good to kind of get off track, but it all ties in together. After the Pirates ended up losing to GRC, that was back on May the 4th, they followed that up with a strong outing against Magoffin County. It was actually senior night Monday night for the Pirates. It was supposed to have been an away game. Said they were able to flip the script and have a home game to recognize those seniors. And then last night, tough game over at Estill County. Pirates ended up dropping that game 7-6. A base hit in the bottom of the 7th. The Pirates were down. They came back.
Yeah, I was getting ready to.
Yeah, they came back and tied it 6-6, only to go in the bottom of the 7th in a sense. And all of a sudden you give up the base hit, give up the run, and you lose a heartbreaker in many respects, you know, especially after you'd come back and tied it up.
Well, I mean, to me, the game mattered more in the baseball side than the softball side, because if Powell County wins by more than 2, they get the 1 seed. They're the home team in the tournament. Now, this way, they're the 2 seed, but you know, it's likely going to be Powell Estill in the championship game, regardless of the best 2 teams in this district. Now, it's about setting up your pitching staff now, getting ready for the championship game, which I don't think either team will use the race against Lee or Rousey. Nothing against those 2 teams, but I just don't think they'll use the races. They don't have to if they're there to hit. You know, if your team comes out and doesn't hit one night, then it could be a problem. But more than likely, you don't have to have your best go that game, that's where the wrinkle comes in, about when the region starts. Right now, they don't know. And, you know, I talked to Frank today, and he has a strategy for that. And if it gets pushed back by rain, it's an issue. They don't have a tarp at Estill County for baseball. They do for softball, not baseball. Lynn told me today that he bought his tarp out of softball money. You know, baseball wanted to buy one, they have to buy one out of their money. But to me, you want a tarp. If it does rain, we're protected. But the chances of rain, I think, are kind of low. But again, it is summer. We're going to get some pop-up showers. I don't think anything's going to be a washout. As dry as it's been, most of these fields right now could take some water.
Agreed. Yeah, they probably could use that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, the Pirates had an opportunity last night, just couldn't quite put things together.
I was going to say, they were down 6-0, right?
Correct,
they came down to tie back up at 6. So before we just throw that dagger at them, hey, great job of coming back. You know, you battled your way back into that one late. I was watching it from the softball field. We could see the scoreboard, and it was – I think 6-0, then 6-3, and then I looked back up. We were walking out from the JV game, finished a softball, and looked at the scoreboard at 6-6. I said, we're not leaving. We're just going to go up and watch baseball play. And we got there in time to see Kyle picked off 3rd. Whatever happened there on that, I didn't see the whole play, but we got to see that happen. The out, And then the double to right, and then the base hit between the 3-4 hole and ball game.
Tough. Again, but the fact that they fought back.
Oh,
right.
I mean, be proud of your Pirates.
100%.
They made a valiant effort in that game to come back and
yes,
try to win it.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Look at the positive side, not the negative of that one. It was a great comeback by the Pirates, just fell a little bit short.
Right. You know, especially to lose it in the bottom of the of the seventh inning, the last inning in a sense, you know, to give up the base hit and the run. But nonetheless, again, a valiant effort. Again, that's all you can ask for is a team to continue to fight, to try and come back if you're down. If you have the lead, hold on to it, continue to pound out more runs. You know, they did what they needed to do, just gave up, a hit. And, you end up dropping one.
Credit the engineers for putting the ball in play down the right field line on that double. And I think we're down the bottom of the order. And that's what got us. But, I think Ethan Hagner, everybody told me, he did a real good job when he went in to kind of hold the door open for the Pirates to come back. And they just gave it up there in the seventh. So, however, he did a good job to get to that point. So, again, don't get too down on your Pirates. They'll be back next week. I'm sure it'll be a same kind of battle next Wednesday night at Estill County.
Couple more games to go the regular season, though, so they will actually play at Perry County Central tomorrow, and then they'll be back at home on Friday, a home game against Montgomery County.
Yeah, that one had a chance to be moved today, but it got changed back. Montgomery was looking for a senior night, so they found a game to play. I think it was going to be maybe tonight or tomorrow. They got a team to come in. We were going to actually flip it, but instead they got a game, so now Montgomery's still coming here for Friday night's game against them.
And again, as we get to the end of the season, based on schedules, based on weather, all
change.
That stuff, exactly, a lot of things change where you're trying to, accommodate those senior nights, again, going back to when they played Monday, you know, that's exactly what they had to do.
That's what Frank told us. He said McGoffin County was nice enough to do it for us. He was willing to flip it for somebody else, and Coach Combs in Montgomery County. And he was willing to do that for his team. And, kudos to Frank for doing that. And kudos, like you said, to McGoffin County to be able to flip it to give Powell County kids a senior night.
Yeah, and the Pirates coming in with a record of 17-9. Again, and some of those victories, their record could be better than that. Again, 17-9, highly respectable.
Yeah.
But, again, I know that they'd like to go back a couple of those games that they ended up, dropping or whatever
you
else.
Know, and the number count is still low. I mean, Frank talked about how many games they played in the rain this year, and still, 26 games is just not that many, but it's about as many as people have played this year. It's been a down year as far as numbers go, as far as your record. 26 games is pretty good. We only played, we only played like, I think, 18.
Yeah.
So it's been a rough year, and unless you play a bunch of tournaments on the weekends, and you just don't get those numbers in anymore.
No, you're exactly right. Obviously, the weather didn't help this year.
No.
And obviously, the way that the scheduling, and going back to even what you were talking about as far as this being that outlier season in a sense, as far as the schedule and everything. No. So now all of a sudden, even for the Pirates, a lot of away games in a sense,
I think they were home early a lot.
They were,
right. But a lot of those games got washed out, so you didn't get to play. Or
right.
It was too cold. We just didn't. Maybe choose to go out there and just freeze to death, but there's several games like that for the softball Lady Pirates. Some games were just, it was brutally cold, and it's just silly to go play those games when it's 35 degrees. I mean, sure, in college you're scheduled, that's just what it is, but these high school kids, it's just probably not healthy for them right now.
Yeah, it definitely makes it tough. Well, we will have Friday night's game again, as the Pirates will play host to Montgomery County. Start time of 5:30, so we'll have that game for you on the radio and Facebook Live.
We'll be right back. We'll take a couple breaks here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native of Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
From routine screenings to complex surgeries to round-the-clock emergency care, you can count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing personalized, compassionate care whenever you and your family may need it. Clark Regional Medical Center reminds you that no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. And getting the quality care you need when you need it helps you, your family, and our community all thrive. Because caring creates healthier people, healthier lives, and healthier communities. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. To learn more, visit us online at clarkregional.org. That's clarkregional.org.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranteed Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
And welcome back. Sorry about that long first segment. It was my fault, not Ken's. I don't want to throw him under the bus. But anyway, we'll cover softball for a couple minutes there, and then we'll get right on into what the district brackets look like. Probably take another break and then come back with more news.
So at this point, I think the last game that we had, actually, since our last broadcast, Lady Pirates traveled to Lee County and ended up dropping that one 14-10, a competitive game, kind of one of those back and forth in a sense. Lee County came up with the win on that one. Then the Pirates ended up traveling on the 5th to Breathitt County, lost that one 12-5. That was here. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, 12-5 here. And then played host to Wolf County senior night, which was Monday night. The Pirates lost that one 15-1. And then ended up dropping last night to Estill County at Estill 15-0. On senior night, the Monday night game, you ended up starting two of the seniors that play consistently, Madison Combs over at second base and Kyrie Wickline over at first, but you put in Abby Napier behind the plate. Her sister, Ella, was actually pitching. I thought that was class act, to be honest with you. Well, I think under the circumstances of the fact that Abby has not necessarily played due to health issues, yeah. Well, but the fact that she was actually able to get in there and catch for her sister, I thought that was great.
You know, it was something that, you know, it was just a dream come true for Abby and Ella to play on the same team. Abby had back surgery her sophomore year, and after she took a few days in the cage that year, and I caught her year before, and her back was just killing her, and I didn't realize how bad it was until we took some swings in the cage, and I think the next year, and that got her down again, and then she wound up having the surgery, and Abby and I have talked about it, and she also talked to her parents, and we came to the same agreement at different places. We were in the same conversation, but it was the same thing. Her future, health future, was much more important than playing a game of softball. She was one of those kids that came out as a freshman that absolutely fell in love with. She would do whatever she had to do to bound the plate. She could block it. She could catch it. She could throw it. Quick release. She surprised me that her arm speed, her arm strength wasn't the best, but her release was just amazing, and she really framed it well. And I didn't have to teach her a lot. She really knew a lot, and very promising. Had a good bat. So when it was cut short, it just broke my heart to even just have that conversation with her. That look, you've had a serious surgery that is going to take time to heal, and you know, I'd rather see you healthy and walking upright than see you at 30 years old and just not be able to move. And I think her parents had the same conversation. And, you know, I talked to Brody a little bit before the game. I said, we'll start her. And my first thought, throw a pitch. And I think that's not much. Just at least do a batter. Maybe I thought about an inning, and then I got to thinking, okay, if she gets in positions where she has to make a throw or dive or something back there behind the plate where she hasn't done anything for almost 3 years, that would be detrimental. So I told her before the game, you got one batter. We'll take you out. And she didn't like it. Brody had the same conversation with her, and she didn't like it either. But, you know, and the next day she caught up. Brody told me this, that her back didn't hurt, which was good, but she was sore. And just from getting down to catch and make some throws and things like that. But I tell you what, it was just the memories I have of her behind the plate when she was a freshman. I love that kid behind the plate. She just did everything she could. And to be out there with her sister, be able to catch her one game, at least for a batter, they can carry that through the rest of their life. You know, wins, losses really don't matter with situations like that. You know, which is another good reason why when we pull Ella up, they have that opportunity. Not that she's not deserved it, because Ella's hitting over 400 for us right now as a seventh grader. And maybe still leading the team by about 450, I believe. 440, I think, the last numbers I looked at. I'll put her up to anybody. You know, it's a different mindset. But these kids are, you know, we've had a rough year. And I'll say this, if the game against Lee County, you're talking about 14-10. We were up 6-3. We took the lead back. We're down 3-1, I believe, and we're 3-0, and came back 3-3, then take a lead 6-3, then give it all back in one inning. Really kind of hurt. And I told the kids and told the coaches both, I said, look, I kind of apologize. I kind of got lost. I got so frustrated there in that one inning that I probably made some bad decisions coaching-wise, and then just couldn't get it back. We couldn't ever get the ship righted. So, you know, it was what it was. We were hoping that game would go a different direction, and hopefully we could go play Owsley County, maybe get a win over them and not be the four seed. So now we're the four. It's the first time in my career I've been a four seed, and first time you ever match up against the one with Estill County. So that is what it is. I mean, we just got to get ready now to go give our best effort on Tuesday night. And again, we'll set up those formats in a minute. So we've got, you know, Breathitt County tomorrow, who just beat us, and they've got a really nice pitcher there. So that gives us some timing issues. We can work on our time, hopefully get better than we were the other night. Then we go to Letcher Saturday to play Letcher and Belfry. Both of those have got some really good pitchers. So we're going to see some good pitching before we get to Tuesday, because what we saw last night was Emma Winkle at her best. And it's not just Powell County, folks. It's pretty much everybody they face this year with her has been, just been dominated. She's just came back from last season much stronger, much more determination in her. You can tell all of her pitches were working last night. I don't know how many wins and strikeouts she has, but our kids don't need to hold her head down too much, because I know she just no-hit somebody last week, maybe a perfect game. And it's not like our bats are the only ones that are missing.
Well, and on one hand, the record for the Lady Pirates is not indicative truly. I get it stands in a sense, but they have bounced back and taken the lead only to give it up and then come mm-hmm. back. And at times, errors here and there that are kind of costly in a sense, but yet they're a much better team than what their record indicates. It's just unfortunate that you can't consecutively put things together in some of those.
I think I said earlier in the season, I think we're going to be able to hit. It's just how good a defensive team we are. And I thought we were better defensively than what we've been all year. We've made 4 or 5 errors a game, and you can't do that. We've walked way too many. I think we're averaging 10 to 12 walks a game. That's come down the last 2 weeks. I'll have to give our pitchers some credit. That number has dropped, but we've also played some short games. So hopefully the number continues to drop, because if you walk people and they get hits, it's going to be a long night, but you definitely can't make errors in the middle. So our problems have been walks, then errors, and then big innings, big hits have happened. So we got to get all that down. And again, to beat Estill County is just going to take the perfect game. So we're going to work to try to get that perfect game and take on Estill. I know they beat us twice pretty soundly. Should beat us again. But, again, there's always that one game that you have that's one of those dream games. And that has to happen for us to be able to even come close to beating Estill County. They're that good.
Well, and the fact that the Lady Pirates team, the players, they don't give up.
No.
It's almost like they could care less what's on the scoreboard, to the extent that they're stepping up to the plate. We're going to be scoring some runs, and they never feel like that they're out of it in that regard, because they feel like that they have a chance and they're capable of putting up big numbers. Again, it's just some of that inconsistency in a sense. And, of course, you can create, I don't say blame, but yet that could be the umpire, right? All of a sudden, you're facing different ones.
Consistency.
Yeah, correct. And at the same time, every ump behind the plate is going to call the game a little bit different. And you have to make adjustments, and sometimes you're not able to make those adjustments.
This isn't a slam against all umpires, but as a former umpire myself, you get caught up in when they're struggling to find the strike zone. It just seems like the umpire starts to squeeze them even more. And if you've got a kid that's hitting every corner, every spot, the zone just keeps widening out. And that, it's like this. If you're playing a basketball game and one team gets momentum, the game is still called with human error. The officials tend to usually follow the team with the most momentum. They get the breaks during those long runs. That's why they have them.
Right.
I mean, I think your professional people that's out there every day, it's the only job they have. They might not fall into that trap as much. I just think it's human nature to fall into. I'm not blaming the umpires for that. And by the way, if you want to become an umpire, we are so short. Please get in contact with some of us coaches, and we have to worry now about scheduling games for next season, whether we have enough umpires. So if you're interested in becoming an umpire, just come and talk to us sometime and we'll try to get you hooked up, because I think right now we have 35 folks to choose from for baseball and softball for the district and regional tournament. And we'll at least have to have at least 12 of those guys working. So, and gals, it's not just guys, but we got to get more people, because we don't have enough coverage right now for high schools and middle schools or our JV teams. If they want to play a separate schedule, we don't have enough people to be able to do those games. So please, if you're in the, we're in a need to find umpires. So, I guess just come be down the doors, because, and it don't pay bad.
No, and that's almost true across all the sports.
It is.
It is an aging population that are these officials, yeah. And nobody, unfortunately, is stepping up in this younger generation to become
And because of the
officials.
Abuse that people have done with umpiring
in
the last few years,
too. Yeah.
Just not willing to go out and do that. And you've seen people beaten and bludgeoned, and that's just silly. I mean, I get mad at them. I'm not going to want to go. I'm not going to hit anybody, but I might get mad at them at the time if they think I think they missed a call or we have a disagreement on a rule interpretation, whatever it may be. I'm not going to do anything violent, but
we're going to get caught up in the moment of the
game.
Yeah,
it's a game.
But we do that at home as armchair
exactly
coaches,
right?
I mean, as a fam, I'm sitting at home and all of a sudden a bad call, and you're just correct, right? We all do that in that regard. It goes to the point of not crossing that line and realizing, again, it's human error.
You see how good, like, a major league umpires are watching a game because there's so few calls overturned. I mean, really, if you think about it, we might see 10 calls overturned in a month and a half. There's a lot of calls made. So, you know, those guys are really good at their craft. They work, they train on it daily. That's all they do. You know, sometimes we have people that maybe call games that aren't as professional. If you get into the job of umpiring, it's still a job. You have to be professional about how you do it. You have to understand know your rules. You have to kind of understand what your clientele is and go from there. But tell you what, $100 a game. Well, for a couple games a night, if you're all saying it's not good money, then you need to look at other places because there's not a lot of jobs out there paying $25, $30 an hour, which basically what you're getting.
Right. Yeah. And I think on one hand too, the fact that they're affected by rain, mm-hmm. you know, when a game is not called. So therefore the amount
big
of time,
margin, like if it's blowout game, I mean, it strike zones get bigger, outs get more frequently called.
Right.
It's just kind of, I don't like it, but it is what it is.
Well, I think when the fact that they don't necessarily at times have that consistency as far as games, and it's just
like
any sport. It's just like any sport in a sense. The more you play, the better you should become. And obviously, in the circumstance, you've got rain games, rained out, that kind of thing. I mean, that affects them as far as them being able to bounce back.
I used to umpire between the ages of 18 and 22. If I try to go umpire a game right now, I'm sure I will miss some calls. But after you get back in practice, you might at least I'm going to do my best to hustle to get in the spots or make the right call. And most of the guys that we do get in good spots to make the calls. We got some that don't. But for the most part, even some of the guys I disagree with at least work to get in the best position they can to make a call. And that's really all you can ask for. I know I've had issues with some umpires, but sometimes the ones that are hustling, I still fuss at them, but there may be more going on than just one or two calls. You know, maybe something else happened the game before or whatever. But people have memories. Even the umpires have memories. So I have to try to remember that myself.
You're exactly right. Again, the three seniors that you have, Madison Combs, Abby Napier, Kyrie Wickline.
Great kids.
Yep, three outstanding contributors.
And, too, this, I also told the girls this the other night, Madison and Kyrie both, this has been their best offensive seasons they've had as careers at Powell County. And I know we don't have the wins to show for it, but they've had really good seasons this year. So I'm very proud of them for what they've done. We just got to do a little bit more, try to get over the top and hopefully win a couple games here the rest of the week and try to put on a show next Tuesday when we play Estill County. So we'll take a break, come back and talk about the pairings of the seeds, where everything's going on in the 56th district and what's going on in the 14th region after the break here on PCSN Live.
It's time to make the switch at the Make the Switch sale event going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. All new 2022 Ram trucks are priced to move with 0% financing and the best rebates of the year. Don't put off that new vehicle purchase. Make the switch now with the good guys at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Call them at 606-663-2856. Always a better deal. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Exit 22 off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless puts service, towers, and technology in areas that other carriers won't. With almost 300 towers in our 29-county coverage area, we know for our communities to grow, they have to have connectivity to succeed. That's why Appalachian Wireless's primary focus is to provide support and service to communities that are in our coverage area. Advancing the gap between technology and communities is our goal of providing a better tomorrow for Appalachia. We are the region's best and most reliable network. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back to PCS and Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we've got a lot to talk about and short time to get there. We're going to try to be promptly out here by 7 tonight. This return, we'll set it up first. Baseball will play on Monday. Times are 5:30 and 8 at Estill County High School. And that will be Powell County versus Lee County at 5:30 Monday. Estill County versus, I think I got it backwards. Estill County versus Lee County, excuse me. That'll be the NICAP, Powell versus Owsley at 5:30. That's baseball. And if correct me, if you got the bracket already, correct me in my times if I'm wrong. But it will be Powell Owsley. That'll be the 5:30 game Monday. Estill Lee, the 6 o'clock game or the 8 o'clock game on Monday night. On Tuesday will be the softball. Again, it'll be 2-3 seed, which will be Owsley versus Lee at 6:30. Due to a beta induction at Owsley County, they're going to play that game at 6:30, which is going to back up the second game to 8:30. And that will be Powell versus Estill County on Tuesday night, 8:30. Wednesday will be the championship game, baseball on Wednesday at 6. Like I said earlier, likely be Powell County versus Estill County at 6 o'clock. Thursday will be the championship game of softball versus with the winners from Tuesday. If Powell defeats Estill, the championship game won't be until Friday. If Estill defeats Powell, the championship game will be on Thursday. If rain happens, everything gets pushed back, if you could follow those analogies. So baseball should be over with by Wednesday night, weather permitting. Softball will be over with either Thursday or Friday, depending on the outcomes of the second game on Tuesday. Again, those game times, 5:30, 8 o'clock for baseball, 6:30, 8:30 for softball. That's Monday and Tuesday, so respectively, baseball, softball. Regional, out of the 54th district, the two best teams probably in the region, Perry and Hazard, drew each other in the first round, so one of those two dominant teams will be out of the tournament of the region. So you got guys like Powell, Breathitt, Wolf, who is on a tear right now. Breathitt's playing good baseball this year. Then Letcher and Knott also there. So you got the bunch of hungry teams that are in the region, and one of your best teams won't be there, and that's Perry and Hazard. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And from what I gathered today, Breathitt is the host school, but the first round or the district winners will host the first round of the regional tournament. The date is to be determined.
That's definitely interesting. And it always amazes me, even going back to the Perry and Hazard, it always amazes me that they actually do a draw.
Leslie Booker will not change their mind to not draw.
I wouldn't either.
Correct.
Why would you?
The only chance those two teams normally have is to draw each other and advance, and Perry draws Hazard. Yeah. Now, in girls' sports, they do steal seed in girls' sports, but they don't in boys. So that'll probably never change once it got there. And it's like the girls. If they ever decided to change back to the blind draw, again, it favors the other teams. Now, basketball kind of determines this, I think, more than anybody. But everybody else gets kind of stuck with it. So I think pretty much everybody except the 54th is a seed district. In softball, we're talking about some really good softball teams going to be matching up. Wolf, Breathitt, Jackson City, all three of those are quality teams. And Breathitt will play Jackson City. Wolf will advance based on them beating Breathitt by more than what Breathitt beat Wolf. And Wolf was able to defeat Jackson City twice, while Jackson City defeated Breathitt once. Therefore, the seeds out they are. Wolf's the one. Breathitt, Jackson City's the 2-3. And I tell you what, anybody could be the winner of that district. All three of those teams are quality teams. So it should be a lot of fun. And in the softball end, you've got Knott Letcher, who have likely going to come out of that one. And in softball, I'm not sure. Perry's playing really well. Really well. They're top team in the region right now. Hazard's playing some good softball. I don't think Leslie and Buckhorn will be able to match up with those two, but I'm not sure what the draw is either. If they did wind up drawing, then who knows? But there's some really good quality softball teams this year as well as the baseball. But again, sites are yet to be determined as far as the region is concerned, and dates. That's kind of a problem because the pitching rules do apply. And I think the window to start is next Saturday. So you can start a district as early as next Saturday if you want to. But with graduations and proms and other things going on, it's going to be finding a date to be able to get them in.
Again, we're in this outlier year in a sense.
Always have these tournaments, like the regional tournament, always on Memorial Day.
Right.
Right, where you play
later,
You could always play on the first or whatever that day was. Everybody's playing. And you had that whole week, but now the tournament dates have moved up to the second and third, kind of eliminates that window for the regionals where you can play four in one day. And really the only options you have now is to play them on Sunday or Saturday when people aren't graduating. So I wish we were like Estill County, because they're already out of school over there, you know?
It'd be nice. But they also started before us. So
yeah, but I mean, you know, it'd be nice to be out right now. I do want to say this. I know we're a little... Oh, we're not late yet.
We got time.
We got a little time. They did a dedication last night at the softball and baseball fields. The Estill County Board of Education, along with Superintendent Jeff Saylor, have spent a lot of money with their nickel tax and the matching tax that they got over there. And they spent a lot of money on facilities. Baseball and softball got up facelifts of their facades. Beautiful. Press boxes and concession areas. They're going to get locker rooms and batting cages. Also, that's to be added later. They got the ATC, which is beautiful. There's going to be upgrades to all their schools except the ATC that are ongoing projects over there. So I'm not sure how much money they spent on all these upgrades. Football field / soccer field, all turf, new track going in. If you haven't been over there, the facilities look beautiful. They did a thing last night. And I want to thank Jeff Saylor for really thanking Powell County, because his words, you know, our friends to the north, which would be us, if it weren't for us adding to their ATC, they don't get that building done. We contracted in that we would agree to send students there. And there were students in the building today from Powell, because the ones that wrestled already finished. But the Powell County students still going over there, and without us, it couldn't have been done. That's why they wanted to do it on a night where both Powell played. Superintendent Saylor wanted to thank the people from Powell County for being able to do that. So, you know, good job of agreeing to those things with them, because what they have done now is build a phenomenal facilities for their athletics program. And I tell you what, it's going to be close to second to none in this region. So a lot of people are going to have to do some catching up. Again, their playing surfaces are just phenomenal. Their new additions are even better. They already had some of the best playing surfaces over there. I'm not gonna lie. I still think Letcher Central still may have the best facilities right now. After they get finished, I'm not sure.
Well, and as we've talked time and time again, Powell has to be, that has to be on a plan coming. It has to be.
It's on a plan whether or not ever who the new superintendent and new board members are. Hopefully something will happen with those plans going forward, because it's something that, and it doesn't have to be as immaculate as what they've done. We just need some stuff done here that is better, because right now we have fallen with facilities way below where we should be.
Agreed.
I mean, we are, yeah. We see a lot lesser counties, and I'm saying lesser by population and even income, have better facilities than we do. And again, you got some choices to make, board members and people. You know, go talk to your board members. Go talk to the new superintendent, whoever that may be. These people need to be able to answer that question, why not us? Because we're falling way behind on facilities, and hopefully we can do some catching up.
You're exactly right. While I have a chance real quick, I meant to, and I apologize, to mention the seniors for the Pirates baseball team. Again, they had senior night on Monday night.
Three as well, I believe.
Three as well. So that was Colin Barnes, Chandler Congleton, and Braden Rogers. You know, under those circumstances, we'll talk about that again on Friday night, but still at least wanted to make mention of those guys and their contributions.
I tell you
what,
these seniors, when they go out, it's always a touchy moment. I'm sure Frank has the same feeling with his kids. But I tell you what, it's the memories you get with those kids never last. And again, as the saying is around here now, once a pirate, always a pirate. Those guys are always, and girls are always welcome back, as long as I'm sure Frank and I are coaching, and I know Megan around, or whoever's around these programs. These kids are always welcome back. It's their program, too.
You're exactly right. So we'll be on the air again Friday night, 5:30, the Powell County Pirates playing host to Montgomery County.
Yeah, we did good in that. We got out almost on time.
There you go.
See you next week here on PCSN Live.
Your hometown's where you want to raise your family. We're being loyal to a friend's the only way.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. Years ago, my parents taught me that treating people fairly was the way to survive in any endeavor. I invite you to come see us before you leave our community to buy a vehicle. You will find that our comfortable down-home environment is one we take great pride in providing to our customers and the community we love. Our future generation will thank us for buying local.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors: Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Pick up.